Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, reading chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning to everybody. It's good to be here today. Worshipping together is really good. Thank you so much, Adam, for all that you've given us. And thank you, Santi, for reading out so clearly the Gospel of John. Well, we've heard this was his first public ministry in Cana, about 4 miles from Nazareth. It's a lovely picture of the Lord at his first public miracle. Enjoying a happy time, probably sitting in the sun, surrounded by his mother, siblings, and other guests for a wedding. He also had, as we've heard, in his company, his disciples, his chosen men, who were no doubt watching and listening everything he said and did. Already they knew that he was powerful and believed in him. The Lord had come for the wedding, although it's quite obvious there was more to it than just attending a wedding. Wedding ceremonies in that culture lingered on for probably a week or more, when the wedding party would entertain and give hospitality to their guests. Quite a responsibility, looking after guests for all that time, which makes the situation even more severe when we read at this wedding they'd run out of wine. Customs, as we all know, are important at any wedding, and humiliating to run out of wine. People were looking for a drink, and it wouldn't have taken long before the family would have faced huge embarrassment. It would have been viewed as a smear on the family that could have been gossiped about in the neighbourhood for years. Therefore, it was a crisis, and the Lord's mother responds, although the Lord Jesus would have been very well aware of everything that was going on. But he didn't move. He waited for an invitation for him to step in and act. Mary, of course, a godly woman who we've heard about over the last weeks over Christmas, such a lot. Here she was at the wedding, and it was 30 years later, a mature woman, definitely aware of the anointing over the Lord. This was a woman who had met an angel, entertained the Magi, and who had the symbols of the Lord's life in her possession, gold, frankincense and myrrh, and the Spirit of God was on her. She knew what the angel had said to Joseph before Jesus was even born.
You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Mary had been privy to so much watching the Lord Jesus grow up. She knew that he was not just unique, but everything prophesied about him was true. The prophetic was alive in the person of the Lord Jesus, and Mary knew that, without question, he was God's son. Isaiah says it very nicely. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here at this wedding, when events had turned dire, with no hesitation, she steps in and seeks his help to rescue the bridal party from shame. Going up to him, she asks him to intervene, as we've heard, stating, "They have no wine." Most probably in the natural and in our own eyes, she was asking him to do the impossible, because she knew that he could. He was Emmanuel, God with us. As Christians, we understand that faith matures in action, and she had been a woman of faith developed over years, being in the presence of the Lord, so she put it into action. She was a woman chosen by God for so many amazing tasks, and she was definitely up to it, maybe a little out of her comfort zone, and we know what that's like. But she was a woman in that culture, in public. But her faith was astounding. Jesus responds in a way that seems very cool. "Woman, my time has not come." Actually, his reply signified something important to everyone, that he was no longer under her authority, but he was now on his own journey. We read his response, speaking to the servants then, telling them to fill 6 jars with water and take it to the director of the feast. It was the water, as we've heard, that was given for washing people's hands. Dirty water. And we read that the jars would have held 20 to 30 gallons. I probably ought to mention here that the alcoholic content in wine in that culture was nothing like ours today. The servants did all that he told them, and took a cup to the master of the ceremonies. Man was surprised, remarking that it was fine quality wine, questioning why it wasn't given out first. It is an astounding miracle. And this story in 2022 could have been splashed over the newspapers, possibly as a man does an incredible act, turns water into wine. Although, for us, for those who know him as their Lord, this is no surprise. It is just what the Lord Jesus always did. Confronted people with amazing acts that defied the norm. This is a miracle, a remarkable picture of changing and transforming, a picture of bringing life out of death, an amazing symbolizing act of many things, the Lord's power and newness that he brings to all people, of a new life, which we call salvation when we allow him to be our Savior. At which time the Holy Spirit transforms our hearts from worldly values of indifference and hostility to a love of God. A miracle. 2 Corinthians puts it very nicely. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, here's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Although I appreciate in today's world, reading about miracles, when fantasy and illusion are so common, many will say, "Rubbish. Can't believe it." I can understand that because I'm sceptical, as many would tell you, about much. But the difference for me, and for many here this morning, is we tested the evidence and found out the truth. Changing water into wine and the miracle of salvation becomes difficult to accept as completely genuine, except when you know the Lord personally, which we call faith. And that was what Mary and the disciples had. But of course, at that wedding, as here, as people on the line, online, there would have been a variety of people with various ideas about everything. So let's consider them as various groups. The first group that was watching on, had come to the wedding, had no understanding of who was in their midst. Therefore, they were onlookers who hadn't met the Lord, so they had no belief nor faith in him. Then we have the attendants who were working at the wedding, men who had actually viewed this amazing miracle, and I guess they were walking around with their mouths wide open. Although they didn't understand anything except that dirty water had changed into wine. Possibly saw Mary go up to Jesus and she had spoken to them, and later Jesus gave them directions as to what they should do, but they understood little, except for one thing. They had been part of something big at this wedding. Then we have Mary and the disciples who believed in him, who knew and understood who Jesus was. They had made him their Lord, and they believed that he could do anything as the Son of God, and they had faith. So this morning, I suppose, I wonder where we all fit into all of this. Are we onlookers who are comfortable not getting involved? Or possibly participants? Maybe someone who's been touched by a miracle but never investigated further? Or a believer who believes that the Lord Jesus can do miracles in their life? These are quite interesting questions for those listening online and for all of us sitting in church. Onlooking is safe, non-confrontational, just view from the sidelines, because many would laugh at you if you said you believed in someone who could turn water into wine. So don't get involved. And many are like this today. The servants, however, had been part of the miracle. These men had collected the dirty water. They knew exactly what had happened. They had been involved in the action. The Lord had spoken to them, so they knew who he was. For them, it was possibly exciting, entertaining. It made them important because they'd seen everything, and people in the future will want to hear all that had happened from them personally. Therefore, they had choices. They could allow their own importance to fill their lives, or they could investigate the one who had turned the water into wine. In doing this, they would then realize that it wasn't the wine that was important, but the one who could do miracles, the Son of God. They had choices, as we all have. The disciples and Mary believed. They had become chosen, active followers of the Lord. I've got to relate a true story here of an aeronautical scientist. He was at a dinner where someone spoke about the Lord's gift of salvation, inviting people as they left to take a piece of scripture away with them if they wanted to invite the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of their life. On leaving, they offered the scientist a little book of scripture, and he refused, saying, "I'm a scientist. I require an experiment before I believe anything." His wife, however, was the opposite, and she took the book home with her. A few months later, there was another dinner, and the couple went along, and the same thing happened. An invitation inviting people to take the book of scripture if they wanted to ask the Lord Jesus into their lives. This time, the scientist asked for one of the booklets, and they were very surprised, and someone said to him, "You want a booklet?" And he said, "Yes. You see, my wife took the book and asked the Lord Jesus into her life. In doing so, she was changed completely, became so different. So you see, as a scientist, I've had the experiment confirmed in front of me. I want to invite the Lord to be my saviour too." This man had seen a miracle. And looking at our scripture today, as we've heard Sandy read so clearly, we view a miracle that Mary asked for. She asked for the Lord to intervene and believed that he would provide. That was 2,000 years ago, so what about 2022? What do we believe? Do we believe in miracles today? Of course, asking the Lord into our lives is a miracle, but it doesn't stop there. When we surrender to the Lord, the Spirit of God lives in us, and we then live God's way, maturing in faith, expectant. Just like Mary, a godly woman asked for the Lord to intervene and act in her life, so can we. And we've heard, so many of us here, of Bill Johnson, even been to his meetings and seen in his public life miracles occur. And Smith Wigglesworth, that many have read about, saw thousands healed. Many in here and online will have seen miracles too in the name of Jesus, in their own lives, because the Lord wants to work through us, the church, and at home. Which is why, as we walk close to the Lord, as Mary did in faith, the miraculous can happen. As we heard with that guy, it's an amazing fact that when Jesus encounters a life, it changes the individual very often, dramatically, possibly not surprising, when we remember he is the Son of God. It's an adventure that the disciples were on. Revelation 3:20 puts it like this: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." The Lord wants a personal relationship with everyone. Possibly today he's speaking to you. Maybe you're just watching on or listening online or in church, and your faith has grown cold, which is quite understandable. So much has occurred to disturb our faith. And really now you can't quite envisage God's love anymore. Probably today is a good time to do something about it. There may be some listening who've seen things, been part of the church, been part of the church for a long time, but never realized how important it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Today, it is crucial you do something about it. Young or old, the Lord wants to be a part of our lives and for all to have an encounter with him. Which is exactly the message that the Lord demonstrated at the wedding. A picture that depicts life out of death. A symbol of new life that the Lord brings when we allow him to be our Saviour. To experience the miracle maker, the Son of God, personally in our lives. Miracles in my life have changed me. And at this wedding, I'm certain many lives were changed. Because as I say, in an encounter with Jesus changes everything. He's a God of love. He didn't say at the wedding, it's your fault, you've run out of wine. He had compassion and came, as we all know, to redeem mankind. At the start of the new year, what a better way of beginning this year and inviting the Lord Jesus to become your Saviour, relinquishing your will to the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. He can turn your life around when you let him. But just as the Lord waited to be invited to do a miracle, he waits for every person to invite them into their lives.